Well, welcome back to the Beacons of Bravery podcast. I bet you thought I was gone. I was gone for a while, over a year, but I have not gone a day without thinking about this podcast and not thinking about you. But I just didn't feel like I was ready to share the message that I had planned for the week after my last podcast because a lot of life has happened since then, but I feel I'm ready to share it now. So what we're going to be talking about today is in the theme of being stuck. I was thinking about, okay, what's the major vision of getting stuck? And that's getting stuck in quicksand. So I looked up online an article that was basically titled How to Get Out of Quicksand. And it was from June 6, 2022. So in this article, they describe some steps if you find yourself in quicksand, which isn't really common, but does occur out there, how to best get out of quicksand. And the first tip is drop everything. They say if you're wearing a backpack or something, that's the first thing that you need to take off because it's weighing you down. It'll get you stuck deeper in the quicksand. They say you won't sink all the way unless you struggle, or if you're carrying something heavy, that's what makes you get stuck. So when I thought about this, I thought how it applies to life. I mean, I've been in a major, major stuck place for the past year. And it's because I've been wearing a backpack like you may be wearing as well. And it's filled with heavy stuff. In my case, probably the most major thing that I was carrying was a toxic relationship. Now, this isn't to say the person I was in the relationship with is toxic. Our relationship was toxic. So, in my case, I kept picking it up and putting it back down. And it was a heavy rocks to put in my backpack. And so, I mean, that's one of the reasons I didn't feel ready to share with y'all because I hadn't put it down all the way yet. But that's one major issue that we can be putting in our backpack. So other things that we can carry with us that also hold us down and keep us in that quicksand with our backpack are bad habits, which I've had a lot of in the past year. Not doing the exercise that I know I need to do and just wallowing in pain as well. And another major area is, for me, the victim mentality. I kept picking that back up. Like, why has all this happened to me in my life? Why am I here right now? Why am I paying a mortgage for a house I don't live in? You know, it can go on and on. But at the end of the day, we are responsible for everything in our lives. And everything that is currently in our lives is because we have agreed to it and in a way visualized it. So it's not anyone else's fault but our own. I mean, there are some out there circumstances, but I've had to learn to take responsibility for my part in everything about my life that I don't like because it all relates back to me. And it's a big rock in the backpack. So if you're like me, a lot of times we pick the backpack full of rocks of things we don't want back up because it can be part of our comfort zone, that we were comfortable with those situations, relationships, habits, whatever, but in the end, they're only going to bring us down. So I guess to summarize that first part is, I hope you can recognize what you're holding in your backpack that's keeping you down, that we need to let go, and to quit picking it back up time and time again, because even though it looks good, it's going to do the same thing over and over again. So then we'll move on to tip number two in the article of how to get out of quicksand. We've already talked about getting rid of your heavy load of the backpack, but the second thing is move horizontally, quickly and lightly. So if you feel the stickiness of your feet getting stuck, start moving with quick steps before the quicksand can take hold. So basically the best way to get unstuck is to not get stuck in the first place. When you feel it coming on, just start moving. Just start doing the things you know you need to do. So they also say in the article, if you do get stuck, try not to take huge steps because the sand will further bury your foot or your boot or whatever you're in, making it more difficult to get out. So in a real life application, that would be many of us have triggers when we start to feel the shame, the quicksand, the depression, self-loathing, etc., starting to pull us down. The best thing to do is to see or feel the signal and start making quick steps with positive things that have worked before. It's much harder to get out after this when you're already buried deep. Sometimes thinking we need to make huge steps or strides is so overwhelming and it only serves to keep us stuck. And that's really where I've been for the past year, like thinking I need to do all these shows, all the stuff, when really I just needed to make quick little steps to get to some more solid ground. So step number three in the article of how to get stuck out of quicksand, especially if your feet are stuck deep, so none of these other things have worked, is that you lay back. And then in that calm, you can roll your way out. So if you create a larger surface area with your body, it allows you to kind of float, and then you can back up and roll out and do what you need to do. So like in real life, if we apply this, it's kind of counterintuitive because when you feel stuck, you panic and you start fighting against what's pulling you down, when really what surrender is what you need to do. It's the better option. It's not giving up, but realizing that you're not going to get out of this situation by fighting. It's not making things better, but if you get in a calm, still place within that says, this is happening, but I'm not going to freak out. In order to come out on the other side, I need to keep my mind and emotions calm. So this has also been one of the most difficult things for me, and I know a lot of you probably as well, who like to feel like we can control things, but we really can't. So that when we surrender and kind of give in and lightly let go and just turn over and let the course of things take place and let God, you know, deal with the whole situation, because we really can't fight it, even though we think we can. We think we can control, but it's an illusion and we just need to let go. So I recently read a really great book that I think kind of can bring this all home, especially considering this lady's circumstances. The book is The Gift, 12 Lessons to Save Your Life by Edith Eger. And she was a concentration camp survivor. In 1944, she was sent to Auschwitz as a 16-year-old ballerina and gymnast with her parents and sister. On the first day that they were there, her parents were murdered in the gas chambers. That same day, she was forced to dance for an officer who had sent her mother to death. She did it because she remembered her mother saying, "No one can take from you what you've put in your mind." She pretended, in her mind, that she was on stage at a ballet. She faced horrendous difficulties in the concentration camp, but she was later liberated in 1945, and she went on to move to the U.S. in 1949. She went on to be a well-known psychologist and did lots of great things, but in 1990, she returned to Auschwitz to face and come to terms with what happened there, because this was such a big rock in her backpack. She had done so many things to kind of work her way out of the trauma, but she had to return to face that big rock. One of the best things I like in her book is on page 30, she reminds her patients, the opposite of depression is expression. What comes out of you doesn't make you sick. What stays in there does. Just let that sit a minute. What we keep inside us is what makes us sick. She goes on to say in chapter 4, page 71, the chapter's called The Prison of Secrets. And these are stones in our backpacks. She says, in Hungary, we have an expression. If you sit with one butt in two chairs, you become half-assed. If you're living a double life, it's going to catch up with you. And I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I have a lot of the time, you know, trying to look perfect on the outside and having this big thing on the inside, it's going to eventually catch up with us. But when you're free, you're able to live with authenticity, to stop straddling the gap between two chairs, your ideal self and your real self, and become congruent. You learn to sit fully in the chair of your own fulfillment. She goes on to say in chapter 11, which is called The Prison of Hopelessness, we never know what's ahead. Hope isn't white paint we use to mask our suffering. It's an investment in curiosity, a recognition that if we give up now, we'll never get to see what happens next. All the gains and losses in life has taught me how much I have and to celebrate each precious moment without waiting for someone else's permission or approval. I'm reminded again and again to choose hope is to choose life. And then she says, hope doesn't obscure or whitewash reality. Hope tells us that life is full of darkness and suffering, and yet if we survive today, tomorrow we will be free. And I just want to go back to the reminder that we all have seasons in life. I mean, there's no just great life that just stays on one steady plane. Our life is full of winters where we know that it's going to be hard times, but that spring will always come. And after that, summer and fall. So to not get discouraged when we're in a winter. I've been in a long winter, but spring has come, and I hope it will for you as well. Going back to Edith Eger's book, The Gift, in the last chapter, the conclusion is called The Gift. And these are some quotes from her. We can't take away suffering. We can't change what happened, but we can choose to find the gift in our lives. We can even learn to cherish the wound. There's a Hungarian adage that says, you find the darkest shadow beneath the candle. Our darkest and brightest places, our shadows and our flames are entwined. And that's what I was trying to say about the seasons, that even though you're in the winter, there's always a light coming on and there's always a reason to keep going. So she goes on, life, even when it's inevitable trauma, pain, grief, misery, and death is a gift. A gift we sabotage when we imprison ourselves in our fears. To celebrate the gift of life is to find the gift in everything that happens, even the parts that are difficult, that we're not sure we can survive. To celebrate life, period. To live with joy, love, and passion. And this coming from somebody who was imprisoned in a concentration camp, found a way to live with purpose. She concludes saying, I used to ask, why me? But now I ask, why not me? Perhaps I survived so that I can choose to do with what happened and how to be here now. So I can show others how to choose life, so that my parents and the innocents didn't die in vain. May you also give up the prison and do the work to be free, to hand down the pain or pass on the gift. And in that way, I feel like she's saying, let's give up our backpacks full of pain, because we're not helping anyone when we're just wallowing in our own quicksand. That to realize everything was for a purpose and that we can go on to help others and make a message out of our mess of our lives. I hope I'm doing that for you in some small way.